Joining us right now, really the great former quarterback of the Giants, Super Bowl MVP in Super Bowl 25. I think it was 22 out of 25, 268 yards and 3 touchdowns for the MVP. And that's really unfortunately got hurt in 1990, or he would have been a quarterback of 2 Super Bowl championship teams and probably in the Hall of Fame, which I think he should be anyway. You hear him, of course, now on CBS, the NFL Today. Used to be great in the booth with Jim Nantz. I nothing but superlatives for number 11, Phil Sims. Phil, Joe, and Evan, how are you?
Hey, guys, I'm doing well. First off, I heard your negative Jet talk. I mean, Mets talk. I think the Mets are going to win the rest of the game, all their games the rest of the year. So
that's great.
You've got to be an optimist. Here, they're going to turn it on here at the end.
What good is it?
And get you excited for next year.
Well, that's the key. It'll get us false hope for next year.
That's it. Get some hope up and then just bust it out and just ruin it all start of next year. I know.
There you go.
That's what it is. So, Sam Darnold, first game.
Oh,
my God, he's going to the Hall of Fame.
Well, we didn't say that.
Well, no, I know you don't. I'm just exaggerating, of course.
Of course.
Then I hear, whatever, after the second game, and I'm sitting there watching him play last Sunday, and I got to watch quite of it. And of course, I watch it during the week already. I've watched it again. And I just go, man, I actually tweeted it out. I'm not a huge tweeter, but I go, man, if you're a Jet fan, you got to watch that game and go, we got a quarterback. We got a guy that looks like he can make plays and throw it down the field, move around and play under pressure, all that stuff, whatever you want. I mean, I really thought it was a good performance by him.
What about, because most Jet fans, Joe and I included, are giddy about the prospect of what this guy can become.
Yep,
but
no doubt.
Has excited you the most about what you've seen from Sam Darnold over the first 2 weeks?
Well, listen, he's a better quarterback now than he was in college. Just more disciplined. In college, he was all over the place. It was like, look at a guy, and then just, it was scramble. Take my hands off the ball, be turned the wrong way, and start running, try to make a play, get hit, fumble, lose the football as he was throwing it because he was holding it with one hand a lot. Never looking really for the next receiver. And so they have corrected that, putting two hands on the football. And it's to me, it's changed his motion a little. It's giving him more power throwing the ball, more control. And, of course, he stays in, the throwing position. You know, where you see a guy getting ready to throw the ball down the field, he stays there instead of turning and jumping and having his chest towards the line of scrimmage. Now, you can't throw from that position. So I think his foot movement and his movement out of the pocket, he looks faster. I'm more impressed with his movement there than I probably was in college too. And the last thing is just driving the ball down the field. We really didn't see that until the game against the Dolphins. Some of those deep outs, that even that seam throw right before halftime that didn't score, I mean, listen, he smoked that thing in there, and you could hear it on TV hit the chest. I think that was Herndon, right?
Yes, the tight end.
So you could hear that. So I don't know. I've seen him actually, when you listen to games, a pet peeve of mine is announcers going, he found the fourth receiver. But, hey, come on. I played 15 years. I found a fourth receiver by luck like twice. So sometimes you can find a third one, and I've seen him hang in the pocket when it's closing in on him and still, go through that process and find the guy every once in a while. And I go, it's really impressive. I don't know. Have a lot of Jet fans been calling, complaining, and going, oh, no, or has it been positive?
No, look, I mean, Phil, I've been a Jet fan for 54 years.
Well, I know how you are, Joe.
I think we got something with this kid. I mean, my biggest concern is staying healthy. Keep the kid healthy, please, because I think we finally may, like you said, finally may have a quarterback, Phil.
I think you're right. I think the offense really fits him. Jeremy Bates has done a really good job. They move the pocket a lot. He moves play actions. He goes behind the tackles. He gets outside the pocket on his own. They have bootlegs, of course.
Right.
And the drop back game is good. I mean, I think the offense really fits him. And, just look at him. Look at that body. I mean, he's got the body of he could almost put his hand on the ground and be a fullback. So he can withstand some punishment and not get beat up and physically get beat down during a season. Because for me, as a rookie, I think I started 11 games, played in another one. And I'm telling you, with 3 weeks to go, I couldn't have cared if we won or lost. Just get it over with because I'm exhausted. And I think the pressure these kids go through, even in college, and the process and what he went through, that I think he could hang in there. It'll be interesting to see.
Right now we've got, obviously, Sam Darnold is playing. Josh Allen is playing. Josh Rosen is not playing, though it seems inevitable that he will.
He will soon. There's no question. Sam, you know, just watching Sam Bradford, the movement is none. And, you know, I always take for granted that he is just a dead-eyed dick thrower. You know, he doesn't miss. And I don't even see that from him now. His arm even looks a little weaker. So sooner, you know, they'll put him in there.
Eventually, yeah.
Yeah, they're going to put him in there once they think they've got it stabilized a little, where they don't put him in there and get ruined.
What benefit is there? Because right now Baker Mayfield is sitting and watching, and who knows how long he'll watch. What benefit do you get from sitting and watching? Because these days, most guys start right away, more times than not.
Well, he just gets more practice time, more knowledge, and everything kind of settles down. I think the first 4 weeks of the NFL season, I usually say this on TV somewhere early, it's the hardest 4 weeks because everybody's fresh, they're big, and as fast as they'll be during the whole year, and you don't really know quite what to expect because they still got stuff they haven't shown you. So it makes it tough. And I thought myself, playing those first few weeks, oh my gosh, it was like you come home, you get up the next morning, you go, I was in a train wreck. And as the season slows down or goes along, the players slow down, and it becomes easier. So, you know, that's something I always kind of look forward to.
All right, how about this game tonight? I mean, the Browns, to me, Phil, they should be 2-0. I mean, really, they should have beat Pittsburgh. They should have beat New Orleans. If they had a kicker, they probably would have won both games. They got a new kicker now. And that tough turnaround and that three-day turnaround, which I hate that with the Thursday night game. But what about this game tonight?
Hey, I think the Browns are tough. I really do. The defense, it's going to gamble. And, you know, you got to hope as an offense that you can catch them in some of those gambles. Greg Williams, Thursday Night Football, let's see. Spotlight,
right.
He knows he's going to be on camera. He's going to be in full glory, man. So I would be shocked if we don't see a lot of blitzing and stuff like that. And they're a talented football team. When you look at it, Myles Garrett is going to be a top five defensive player in the NFL. On the other side, they got Emmanuel Ogbah, who I really like. I think he's in his third year or whatever from Oklahoma State. But then they got this guy in the middle. I don't know if I say his name right, Ogunjobi. He's a good pass rusher, too. They got good linebackers. And I sit here, or I was actually with the great Boomer Esiason on draft night and Gio.
Right.
And when the Browns took Denzel Ward, I said, oh, my gosh, there's so many big players that I like out there. Why would you take Denzel Ward? Well, it's only been 2 weeks.
He looks good.
He
but
does.
I'm eating my words. He's looked better than good. He's one of those guys that he's looking to intercept the ball every time it's thrown. There were two guys in the draft that were like that. Him and the kid that went to Green Bay, Jair Alexander, who's been really, really good the first 2 weeks. They were guys, they're small, but they can stick with anybody, and the big thing is they're not afraid. They're not afraid of getting beat. Just like quarterbacks, sometimes as a quarterback, you can't be afraid to lose. You got to go out there and throw it into some tight windows every once in a while and try to make big plays.
We're talking to the great Phil Simms. You know how Giant fans are feeling right now. They're panicking, and most of the blame, rightfully so, has gone to the offensive line. But give me your thoughts on the way Eli has played over the first 2 weeks, the state of Eli Manning, in your opinion.
Well, tough to make a great synopsis of that. I watched both games, of course, these past 2 weeks. I thought there were chances to make more plays against Jacksonville than there were against Dallas, and they didn't take advantage of that. So if I say Eli played, if you want to say which game was the worst, to me, the Jacksonville game, because when you get a chance to hit guys deep down the field for touchdowns, you're going to miss them because they're long throws. But, man, it's got to be diving off the fingertip kind of misses, and they were not. So that's one thing. In Dallas, I don't understand the missed assignments and not having guys blocking blitzers. It wasn't like they were giving blitzes that I haven't seen. And look, it's been a long time since I played, but I watched the game, and I'm going, oh, well, if you call this protection, he would back him, and we would have it all sealed up. And then Eli has a lot of one-on-ones, and he can pick whoever he wants to throw to and do it. And the Giants missed assignments time after time. And make no doubt about it, Dallas Cowboys defensive front is the real deal. They are very good up front. And probably the most impressive thing of the game was the Dallas secondary, because they got Chris Richard, who came from Seattle, who I thought was going to be a head coach a while ago. He's now in charge of the back end of that defense. And the Giants, it looks like they tried to do nothing on offense. But, man, Pat Shurmur, he had, I don't want to call them trick plays, but plays that beat the system that they were playing. And the Cowboys secondary never made a mistake except for that one play at the end of the game when they gave it the touchdown. In other words, the corner, a guy would go inside, he would let him go and pass him off to the safety, and the Giants were trying to get a guy, the second man, to come through for big plays, and there they were. And they took away, the Giants tried about four or five, I thought, really great concepts to get big plays, and the Cowboys were sitting on every one of them. So it was. We kept talking about the rush, but their secondary really played well.
All right, I'm going to ask you a very stupid question, Phil, all right?
No, Joe, you can't ask a stupid question.
No, it's a stupid question. Now, maybe it's and again, there's a little wishful thinking in here, too. We saw the Patriots get smacked around by the Jaguars last week. Is there any chance that the Pats come down a little bit this year?
Oh, I think there is a chance. I mean, I opened my big mouth during the preseason. Oh, the Patriots front seven. My God, it's going to be so good. And it's looked really average both games. It was average against the Houston Texans. Okay, they kept Deshaun Watson in the pocket for the first half, but he kind of got loose in the second, made a lot of throws. You know, they're missing a cover guy. They got rid of Malcolm Butler. They got Eric Rowe. That's really hurting them. People are picking on him. They can't get pressure on the quarterback. So they blitz, and we saw Blake Bortles lob it up and beat them. So you got that, and here's what's happening, too, in the league. Linebackers are what in the league now? What are they doing? They're getting what? Faster.
Yes.
So yep. We see, I mean, you got linebackers that are really glorified safeties, and they're standing in there. So you throw all those short passes. Okay, you throw and complete a five-yard pass, and then it's still second and five because they are running so fast, these linebackers now. They're taking away all the little cute stuff. And to me, the game is turning into you got to find ways to get it down the field and make big plays.
Like
the Patriots, my gosh, it was like, oh, okay, Tom hit another five-yarder. Oh, a two-yarder, a five-yarder. It was like, you know, it was like watching the old Kansas City Chiefs out there. You know, it took three passes, and they struggled to get a first down.
Doesn't it feel like everybody's getting faster in the NFL right now?
Yep.
Like every position, yeah.
They are. And that's why it's so important to be, you know, very deceptive on the offensive side because you were talking about the fronts that really are changing it because there's pass rushers on every team. These linebackers are so fast. So it takes away a lot of the quick stuff. I mean, the screens that we saw 5 years ago, everybody throw a screen, they'd gain yards after the catch. Now you throw them, the defense is trying to pick them off. So that's changed a lot. So you got to keep it really varied and, of course, you need talent, but keep moving the quarterback around, and it's almost 100%. Your quarterback has got to move. You don't have to be fast. You know, Sam Darnold ran a 4.8 something at the combine. In this day and age, I mean, if I was a quarterback coming out of college, I'd be working on that 40 for about 3 years. And I'm serious.
Yeah.
And so, but Sam Darnold, when he plays, he moves around like he runs a 4.5. And I think that holds true for every guy in the league. You have to move. Tom Brady is maybe the slowest quarterback in the NFL, but he moves in the pocket great. And that really serves him well and helps that offense greatly.
Yeah, no question about it. How about the situation right now, Phil, in Pittsburgh? I mean, you know, Bell isn't playing. Antonio Brown, his issues there, doesn't show up for work the other day. They're all 1-1. What's going on with the Steelers right now?
Well, the same thing's been going on for years. I mean, I don't know. Everybody goes, oh, there's drama in Pittsburgh. When has there not been drama in Pittsburgh? It's or whatever you want to call it. It is drama. You know, there's two different things. One is friction. When you have some steel friction, I think, mm-hmm. is great for a football team. Mm-hmm. And I used to play for a coach. He created friction every day. you know, every day, right. you know, oh, you stink. I don't know what we're going to do. I got to. And, you know, that's one thing. But when you have what's going on in Pittsburgh, then it becomes the talk of the locker room. That's all everybody talks about. It's on social media now. Man, I can't believe I'm saying these things. It's in the papers, and it's a distraction. And when you have a distraction, that means you're not really grinding out what you're doing during the week to show up on the weekends. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say it's all anybody's fault, but Mike Tomlin runs it in a certain way. As I tell people, he runs the team in a certain way that lets them sometimes be great on the field because they're loose and free and they just let their skill come out. But when it all comes down to it at the end of the day, you've got to kind of do some of that, but you got to have everything buttoned up.
Right.
And who wins the Super Bowls? Teams that are really, you know, disciplined, buttoned up, and they don't make those little errors or they don't have the drama on the side that disrupts them.
Right. Mm. Right now, it's only 2 weeks into the year, but the story of the NFL's got to be Ryan Fitzpatrick. I mean, the guy's been outstanding. How long is this going to last?
Well, that's interesting. They play Pittsburgh. I really think he'll have a big day against Pittsburgh throwing the football. I mean, Pittsburgh is not covering people well. They do not have a pass rush. But on the other side, how long does it last? The Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense doesn't slow people down too much either. They got Gerald McCoy in there, and if he doesn't get to the quarterback, it's like move around and throw it to whoever you want. And so they're just going to, you know, Kansas City's kind of the same thing. Their defenses are not near what their offenses are, so they're going to rely on the offense really dominating and scoring points. But Fitzpatrick, he's got receivers. New Orleans played a man-to-man, and it was payback time for Tampa Bay. Mike Evans against Marshawn Lattimore, it was the year before, it was a duel, and Lattimore won. And Mike Evans absolutely just was tremendous. And DeSean Jackson, he statistically was not as good last year. You know why? Because he was open about 15 times during the year, deep. And Jameis Winston overthrew him about 13 of them. Mm. And Ryan Fitzpatrick has hit him every single time. And it's a really good throw it down the field offense. And what that does, it gives the quarterback more space and you see it clearer. You know, the Ryan Fitzpatrick we saw with the Jets, it's catch it and throw a slant and catch it and throw it here. It was quick. But you know, when it's quick, the ball gets tipped. You can't see it as quick. You know, the defensive linemen become more in play, things like that. So this offense fits him well, and there's no doubt about it. I got to admit it. Fitzpatrick's throwing it better than I've ever seen him throw the football.
Mm.
But look at the weapons.
Yeah, no, he's got them.
Oh, and wait, the last thing is they got an offensive line. It's like the Great Wall of China. I mean, I don't know if you could – what it would take to knock it down. They just got huge offensive linemen that it's – they can counter the speed and athleticism of defensive lines. So that's been a really big part of what they're doing.
You know, I want to go back to something you said when you played. I know you don't like to talk about your career, but I got to throw this in there because you talked about the coach you played for. We know what we're talking about. And I remember a number of times you and him getting into it face-to-face on the sideline.
Well, a couple times. Not proud of it, but we did.
No, you did.
But you – yeah, but go ahead. What's the question?
No, that's it. I mean, overall.
Well, here's what it is.
Okay.
Bill was – there's no coach ever like him in history.
Okay.
Because there's many things. He believed in keeping everybody uptight because it you have to be, like I said, buttoned up or whatever. And he did it during the week. And then game day, he would say things to you. And you just go, God, I feel so good. I can't believe he gave me a compliment.
Right.
And things like that. But the other thing was – when he yelled at you, you were allowed to yell back at him, and he didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of guys in practice, he'd yell at them. The guys would go, oh, shut up, coach. I'm sick of listening to you or whatever. And, you know, everybody would kind of laugh, and Bill would just, you know. And one time I yelled at him, and he says to me, you know, later that day, he goes, you wanted to hit me, didn't you? Did you want to hit me? You really did, didn't you, Tim? And yeah, I'm just sitting there. You know, I respect. He's the head coach. I'm going,
right.
Man, what is wrong with this guy? But that was the give and take of that team. I think that is so unusual. I mean, Lawrence, Jim Burt, there was many guys that they would just yell at Bill. It's really, and of course, as a team, we would love it. Yeah, get him.
Right, but, right, sure.
But
sure.
The bad thing is, when he yelled at you, you were allowed to laugh. All the teammates, yeah, get him, coach, and you know, and he reveled in that. And sometimes, walking to practice, he would walk by me and go, "Hey, boy," I said, "Hey, coach, I gotta go. I gotta get here, take snaps before practice." He goes, "Hey, no, you're with me. You're okay. Stay here. Shut up." And I go, "Okay." He goes, "Listen, you're doing great. So proud of you. You're leading. You're just this and that. You conduct. I just love everything you're doing. I just want to tell you that." He goes, "But I just also want you to know, today, sometime during practice, I'm gonna rip your butt. I'm gonna get on you like I've never got on you." And I just kind of go, "Well, what do you mean?" He goes, "Hey, I can't tell you exactly how he said it. I got to show the rest of those whatevers that I can get on you, so I'm going to get on them too." And I said, "Whatever." So I throw an incompletion during the practice, and he stops the practice for 5 minutes and just undresses me and keeps going. And I have to sit there and just take it.
That's funny.
You know, but that's who he was. He was truly a master psychiatrist, and it's kind of the Vince Lombardi way, because I read books about him. Beat him up during the week, but when the weekend comes, love him up and tell him how great they are and what they're going to do, and they're going to get it done.
Mm, very interesting.
So interesting. Cool.
Yeah. Awesome stuff, Phil.
Phil, great
really
stuff, man. Always
well,
appreciate it.
Well, great talking to you, too. Haven't talked to you in a long time, and good to hear you back together again. And, hey, Evan, let's go, Mets.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Let's go, baby.
I'm telling you, I can see it.
You're confident
building,
for next year.
And I say next year, I think there'll be a World Series contender.
Wow.
I really
wow. Love, hey, from your lips,
hey,
man.
Exactly right. Your lips to God's ears, Phil.
Please.
You know what I mean?
I love that. Thank you, Phil.
Have a good day, guys.
All right, Phil.
Great, Phil. So it's funny, as he was talking about Parcells, I heard very similar things about Popovich, what he would do to Duncan, where he would just annihilate him in front of everybody, saying, "Wow, if he can go after Duncan, he can go after anybody."
I remember a couple times on the sideline, and they're just getting in each other's face. I mean, you know. But anyway, he kind of told you how it was.
Absolutely.
Yep.